I'm delighted that we have the opportunity today to hear from Clyde Kratz. Clyde, I invite you to come forward as I say a few more words. Clyde has been our conference, our executive conference minister now for 5 years.
Four years.
It feels like five sometimes.
I just asked you that right before, didn't I? For 4 years. And I know he's been granted and very much appreciates the fact that a sabbatical is coming for him at the end, towards late fall. Clyde and his wife Eunice have 3 adult children and 6 grandchildren. It has been a challenging year for anyone in his role with the work of the church and especially our conference. It has been a very full and busy summer as he and many others came from Orlando, and then as many of us participated and were part of Virginia Conference meetings here in our church facility the last 3 days. So it's been a busy time, a full time, and so I'm just grateful, Clyde, that you were willing to be here this morning. Let's have a prayer. Gracious God, I pray that you will be with Clyde as he shares the message that you have given to him. May we have open ears to hear what we need to hear through your servant. May we have open minds to be receptive to the message and open hearts to respond in healthy and appropriate ways to what we hear and learn today. So bless him, bless our time, and may your spirit guide him in all that he says and be with us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you. It is a joy to be with you this morning and to celebrate the new life in Christ that we share in common and get to celebrate every Sunday the opportunity to be part of God's kingdom. I bring you greetings from Virginia Mennonite Conference, where most recently we held our conference assembly here at Parkview Mennonite Church. The theme was Neighbors, Strangers No More. We had the distinct pleasure of having Salo Padilla tell his story about how he came from Central America as an immigrant and to how he is engaged on behalf of MCC on immigration issues. Cesar Garcia, General Secretary of Mennonite World Conference, was here to talk about how the church is at work in the world and how we're a part of that. Wilma Bailey, scholar, Old Testament, illuminated the book of Ruth in 2 Kings 6. And what does it mean for us to think about the stranger from an Old Testament perspective? We had the opportunity to celebrate through a commissioning 21 pastors who either received ministerial credentials for the first time in a new pastoral assignment or have changed their ministerial status. 22 mission workers were commissioned through Virginia Mennonite Missions. Our delegates had the opportunity to engage in the questions that the Polity Task Force put before them. As the Polity Task Force work has been the responsibility of asking the question, where does authority lie in Virginia Mennonite Conference? Conference Council, Faith and Life Commission, the delegates, local congregations. This subject hasn't been discerned for a while, and it seems appropriate that we as a conference would begin looking at that very question. The annual report is on Virginia Mennonite Conference's website, and you may go there to see what all we told our delegates in that report. The Faith and Life Commission also gave word of the developing processes of how we're going to move forward with responding to allegations of misconduct of clergy. And I do want to report that we now have an investigative committee that's in place, and they have received their first complaint, and they will be moving forward with that work. It is true, I will be going on sabbatical October through December, and most likely we will be having a staff person or a person hired quarter time or somewhere around there as a way of filling in my absence. I am grateful to you as Parkview Mennonite Church for hosting our conference assembly for these past 2 years. The worship space in this meeting house is remarkable when people show up to sing. And I still hear that last song, Praise God, From Whom All Blessings Flow, that we sang at the conclusion on Friday evening. Your spacious fellowship hall, the foyer, the multipurpose rooms, the kitchen facilities are superb for meeting the needs of our conference assembly. I also want to commend the pastoral staff and administrative staff of your congregation because they indeed have made our work much easier with their competency and their friendliness and the hospitality they have showed to us. Thank you very much for this service that you have provided to us. Sermon title this morning is Patient Faith. Jesus spoke in parables to his audience in Matthew 13. The lectionary is focused on one of many parables in Matthew 13, and this one is the wheat and the tares. The scripture is in two parts, the parable and the private explanation. The parable seems fairly straightforward. The owner of the farm plants the wheat, and as it begins to mature and grow, a slave reports that an enemy appears to have planted tares in his owner's field and wants to know if the tares should be uprooted now. And the owner said, let's be patient. Let's wait until harvest, and then we can separate them without harming what we would like to keep. The interpretation is a private conversation between Jesus and his disciples. The larger crowd that heard the parable are missing. Apparently, the disciples are still pondering the meaning of this parable, and so Jesus explains it to them. The sower is the Son of Man. The field is the world, the good seed, the children of the kingdom of God. The weeds, the children of the evil one, the enemy, the evil one. The harvest, the end of the age, the reaper, the angels. Simple explanation is the righteous live in the world and rub shoulders with all types of people. And it's God's decision about judgment, finality, and the timing of harvest. In our story, God is the great planter, that he has placed us here with purpose. Our presence in the world at this time is God's choosing. We cannot live in the time of a previous generation longing to revision the golden years of Christendom. We can wish we were living in the future where we can put into place things we want, the longing for fulfillment of our dreams without doing the hard work of maturation. But we live in the present, with the disappointments, the hopes, and the limitations that may not always be of our making. But we are called to live and act within the purposes of God. This parable is interpreted differently in the Anabaptist tradition than in other Christian traditions. Augustine, Luther, Calvin would want us to see the church as the children of the kingdom. They would want us to see that there are within the church those who were baptized as infants and may not turn out the way we would want, so that in the church there would be those who were faithful and those who were unfaithful. Menno Simons, Myron Augsburger, Richard Gartner would say, not so fast. They would say, consistent with the text, that the good seed is the children of God that are living in the world, not just narrowly defined by the church. So that the parable is not speaking about life inside the church, as if there are people within the kingdom who are undisciplined charlatans or deceivers, but the parable opens the window wide to say to Jesus' audience, many of which may be skeptical themselves about Jesus, that there is this opportunity for them to grow and be useful in the kingdom of God. The parable indicates that judgment is on God's terms, not ours, that participating in the world is our responsibility. So, what does it mean to be patient, waiting in the world? Is patience doing nothing or doing something? Recently, our small clan of our family played kickball together in the soccer field at John C. Myers School. It was the first time all 14 of us played this sport together. It was much fun, but I took things for granted. I needed to teach my young athletes that there was a forced play at second base on a droopily kicked ball past the pitcher, that they had to move when the ball was kicked. And we played the game a little bit differently. We played it in a way that everyone on the team got a chance to kick the ball, and then we switched sides. There were no outs, and there were no accumulated points. It was just fun and fellowship and goodwill. For you see, I'm making some baseball bats on my lathe because each of the grandkids should have one, and I want to play ball with them someday. But you know, we have to teach them how to play before we hand them the bat. And then we have to show them how the bat is used to hit the ball, not each other. So what does it mean for us to be followers of Jesus in the world, patiently waiting for the judgment to come, if that's the full measure of this text? It's a good thing to teach children in the center of the meeting house about the way of Jesus. It's a good thing for a local congregation to send their youth to the convention where they find out that they're not the only Mennonites in their community, but that it's a broader witness than just even the Harrisonburg area, that to be an Anabaptist Mennonite Christian is a national and global phenomenon. That's a good thing. It's a good thing for us to periodically sign a petition in our community and ask the state, are you sure that you should execute another person because they have committed atrocities in the commonwealth in which we live? It is a good thing for us to speak to power about the way in which they conduct the business of government. It is also true that in our tradition, we have not picked up arms to confront terrorism. And that is the place that we separate ways with other Protestant traditions. For you see, in this parable, the tearing away of that which is evil raises the question for us, how do we, as the Christian community, confront evil? How do we approach it in a way that's consistent with Scripture? Perhaps we need to go to another text to actually get that answer. Because in this text, it appears that we are the wheat and we're just maturing. But I believe, as our tradition states, we have something to say about that in the 21st century. To be a witness of that which is good. To be able to recognize that when we speak the truth in love, that doesn't mean we ourselves will not be harmed, but we are called to be witnesses, and to be witnesses with clarity. It is true that we are living in a time of turbulence, that change is upon us, but this too could be the purposes of God. The text does highlight that there is a great judgment. It seems to me that we are to follow the model of Jesus in the world, who came full of grace and truth. Our role is to be a witness to what God is doing through us in the body of Christ. While it is true that we have analytical minds, can make judgments about a host of things, the ultimate decision about determining who is in God's will and who is out of God's will and thus condemned is the activity of God and not us. As I think about this parable, I want to commit myself to continued growth towards maturity, the duration of my life, not to achieve high status or righteousness, but to enrich my life purposefully, to adapt to the contemporary setting of our Anabaptist Christian witness, rather than being left behind. I want to invite people to know God, to see the power of God's movement in the world and our community. I want to invite them into the possibility that God is calling them into maturity in ways that may even surprise them. I want to figure out who is my neighbor. I don't want them to be strangers anymore. I want the stranger to be someone that I share my life with, to learn to know and appreciate them even as I mature in Christ. I want to not be frightened by the difference, but to be enriched by the diversity of people and patterns of life that I encounter. I want to refrain from being God. I don't want to determine who gets into heaven and who does not. For if I project myself into this role, I failed to see myself as the wheat and have grasped to be the role of the harvester. Join me in prayer. God, on this day we acknowledge our dependency upon you. We give you thanks that you have called us to be your disciples, empowered us by your Spirit, to be witnesses of truth and grace in all that we're a part of. Grant us the wisdom to know how to balance that tension. Grant us the courage to act and not to be silent. And as we mature as the body of Christ, grant us the ability to be relevant to those who we meet in such a way that they see Christ at work in us. For what greater testimony would there be than for others to see Christ when they see us? Amen.